Blog Talk Radio.
Trap, money, penny. She got me in my business. Gotta be real with it. Yep. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always, KB. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. Look, the new me is really still the real me. I swear you gotta feel me before they try and kill me. They gotta make some choices, they running out of options. Cause I've been going off and they don't know when to stop. And when you get to top and I see that you've been learning. And when I take you shopping, you spend it like you earned it. And when you popped off on your ex, he deserved it. I thought you would've won from the jump, that confirmed it. Trap money, Benny, ay. I buy you champagne, but you love some Henny. Front of block like you Jenny, ay. I know you special, girl, cause I know too many.
Risha, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always, JT. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always.
Two bad bitches and we kissing in a way. Kissing, kissing in a way. Kissing in a way. I need that black card in the cold to the safe. Cold to the safe, cold to the safe, safe. I show 'em how the net work. For that Netflix to chill, what's your net worth?
Cause I want you, and I need you, and I'm down for you always. And I'm down for you always. And I'm down for you, down for you, down for you always.
Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always, KB. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I'm.
Yeah, once again, it's On Edge Radio, the type of radio that's going to keep you on the edge of your seats, and it's June.
What are y'all talking
about? I don't even care. I need a photo with Drake because my Instagram is weak as fuck.
I'm just being real. My shit, look.
How we doing today? How we doing today?
Good.
I got in the building with me right now, Miss Nick. How you doing? We got a little side conversation going on.
Yeah, I heard it. That was a part of the song, wasn't it?
Oh, it could have been. It could have been. It could have been. I thought it was over there. It threw me off a little bit.
I think that was a part of the song.
Oh, okay. So what's going on with you, Miss Nick?
Oh, nothing much. Just trying to enjoy the summer and spend time with the kiddos and, you know, still maintain.
So what's the summer looking like for you?
Football, a lot of football. My oldest one just graduated, so I'm trying to get him on the right path to adulthood. And me just working. So that's about it.
I feel you. But you know what we gotta try to do? Because I feel like every summer that I come across, It's either I'm mm-hmm. working or I'm doing something with somebody else. I never ever sit in the regiment vacation. It's got to be a vacation somewhere there in the summer where we get a break from reality. And I kind of like, I don't know if you know, like teacher schedules, how they get off every summer. That's mm-hmm. how life should be. Everybody should
it
be
should.
Off during the summer.
But then how would the bills get paid?
Like that, but. Exactly. Only if we had it that sweet, whereas though we could just sit back, relax, recollect ourselves, and just come back to life. And you know what I mean? On a 9-to-5 job, you need that offset. So somewhere down the line, we gotta sit in the regiment, some type of vacation. For myself, it's been a lot of running around. I'm planning on a big move, redirecting my life, redirecting financial situations, just everything in life. It's just a change. So I'm taking this midpoint of the year. We've hit 6 months. I feel like time is just flying. I don't know what it is about that. You know, when I was in school, time would drag all the way, and now I can't keep up with it. I can't keep up with life. Before I get into the topic for the day, I wanted to talk about some on edge news. You know, we got to keep them interested. So let's talk Cooper Gooden Jr. I'm not sure if you heard too much about his case, but allegedly he was arrested for touching a woman. It wasn't inviting. He just decided, you know, to grope a girl. But have you seen the video?
I saw the video. I don't know if this was the same situation, but the video that I saw, it was him sitting next to a woman. I don't know if that was his wife. And then this lady came and sat down next to them, and he reached over and he touched her. Is that what the charge is?
Allegedly, I think that was the night that they were referring to. Just from my assumptions and my outlook, I don't know specifics. I don't know, you know. I'm just getting what I see in front of me, and I'm breaking it to the world because what I saw wasn't groping. It was seeming like that she was inviting. When she came over to sit down, her whole body language suggested that they were more comfortable than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like they knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was in the girl's face. Like it was about their life. And then the guy came up walking and stood in front of them. He was kind of dancing like this is what they do. So again, that's a big case to look at, and I think it's a kind of insult to the media and an insult to us to kind of like portray things like that, because there's so many women being abused out here and so many people getting harassed and to make false accusations about things like that could kind of like desensitize and dumb down a lot of people's cases, because people could really be crying for help out here and you playing around with us. So I think stuff like that, you know, man, you can't play that. Even that thing with the guy from Empire, Jesse, you know, the little shenanigans he pulled. I don't know if it was real. I don't know if it was fake. But to do things like that, it's people out here really struggling from discrimination and racism and just for people just trying to be themselves and for people to play. And for it to go that mainstream and media, you know, I think we should really take in consideration of people that's really going through something. And if that girl is up to get a check, it's sad. I don't know what happened off the camera, so I can't say. But what I saw in that tape, that seemed like you wanted that. You didn't even fight. You didn't move his hand or nothing. You was just about that life.
I agree.
So you know what I mean. So if y'all out there, for all of the listeners and things like that and people that's around, just really take heed of what you're doing and what you're casting out and what you're trying to put on somebody else's name, because, you know, that it really can hurt somebody else other than the person that you're trying to hurt. So,
But at this point, I just think that people really need to be smart about how they move and, you know, who they allow in their circle or even to get close to them, even to have conversation with. Because, you know, especially these people that are in these positions, people clout chasing and they out here for a check. They are putting themselves in situations with ulterior motives, being that they're out for a check. So people, they really need to be more conscious about what's really going on here. It's not as simple as just, you know, saying hello no more, because it's like, oh, he said hello to me in a suggestive manner, and I feel like, you know, he was sexually harassing me by the way he said hello, his body language, you know what I'm saying? They come up with all kinds of stuff nowadays. And so just like that, the situation with LeVar Ball and the lady on ESPN, and she said, well, let's switch gears. And he said, yeah, I'll switch gears with you or something like that. And they took it as if it was some type of sexual connotation behind it. And he was saying, I wasn't coming on to that lady. He said, I wasn't coming on to her. He said, I was just saying, let's switch gears and go to another topic. That's how he meant it.
LeVar Ball is, and I could see that coming. Like, with the fame and the status that he sits at, I could see it getting to his head and him projecting himself in that way. I could just see those words coming out of his way, out of his mouth the wrong way, because he probably been saying stuff behind the cameras and all of this other stuff. So, I wouldn't put it past him, but I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. And, like, we have to, one, be cautious of how we're accusing people, and two, we have to be a little bit more understanding on how people are talking to you. Because I could say, you know, hey, how you doing to a girl or to a woman, and she take offense to it, or she may not.
Uh-huh.
It's just depending on the woman or and her life experience. She may not be, you know what I mean, feeling everything. So, you know.
Uh-huh.
I do want to get into the topic for today. Today we will be talking about if love is unconditional, why do we treat it with conditions? And then also we're gonna definitely talk about that. But it's so many different levels to that question as is. And then I want to know, what's your qualifications for love? Like, what's your qualification? What do you look for? How do you determine when it is love or when it isn't? And then also, can you love more than one person? And that question has so many different other questions that I want to align with that. But right now, I'm going to go into a little music break, and then we come back. Hopefully, we'll be talking with our guests. We'll see. And this is On Edge Radio, that type of radio that's going to keep you on the edge of your seats. We're talking relationships. Nah, scratch that. We're going to talk situationships. We'll be back in a minute, y'all.
My money, my body, now your own.
It's a real body.
If I tell you, say I love you, oh. My money, my body, now your own, oh baby. 30 billion for the account, yo. Versace and Gucci for your body, oh baby. Nadu, gara for me. Nadu, tera. Sipping brooku tutu, for your love it tutu. I go tutu. Biko obiano ju, say you do me juju. Cause I'm feeling the juju. Take it to you, I wanna dash it to you. Take it,
You can have it too. You know I got it too. I love you.
Keep you on the edge of your seats. And now it's time for our guests to come into the building. This person has been all around the globe, all in your ear, all in the radio, all in your CD players. Back in the day, in the future, in the flesh, we got your boy here, 3-time Grammy-nominated artist. He's also been a nominee for the NAACP. My boy's in the building, Raheem Divine. Y'all give him a warm welcome, y'all.
Hey, family.
Brother, how are you doing today?
Well, how about yourself?
Great. So On Edge Radio here, I want to thank you for coming on to the show, but for all of the listeners out there, who may not know your music, may not know your sound and your grace, man, tell us a little bit about yourself.
It's been about 13, 14, 15 years now since I put out my first album. It came out in 2005. Mm-hmm. I'm about less than 24 hours away from dropping my 7th album over the course of, 14, 15 years. And, I don't know, man. I think it's more people that do know than don't know.
No, I agree with you.
We talk about pure music and, soul or mixtapes or a number of things. I've done a lot over the last 15 years. So, I'm pretty much an open book, with social media and all of those components.
So now, let's talk about the music industry and how it transgressed so much and where it's been and where you are now. Like, where do you fit in as an R&B artist? And also, How do you feel about the transgression in R&B?
I mean, me personally, I'm on an incline right now. I think that my brand is probably going to be bigger than it's ever been thus far to date. I think that I've been doing something for a long time that, like, now the where the, you know, the climate of where the industry is, they're going to kind of, it's kind of like playing catch up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you think of, like, a lot of me, you know, I guess I'm kind of use the term, I was a little before my time, so now people kind of catching up with, you know, my influence to music and how important I am to, you know, music and what I contribute, you know what I mean? So I agree. And then in terms of like the state of music and where it is across the board right now, I think that we're in an age, I kind of refer to it as a genreless age of music, that, you know, even though these corporations still try to put a title on what we do, I think that, you know, artists are now so diverse and multicultural, and, like, you know, with social media kind of bringing the world together simultaneously with the click of a button with press and send based on the content that we put out as artists, like that, it kind of, like, bridges the gap, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, so it's a time that any artist can win. You know what I mean? Whether you're established or unestablished, if you're putting out quality content and promoting it and marketing it in the proper manner, people going to find it, you know what I mean? And then people going to find it, and they're going to talk about it and put it on their playlist, and you know what I mean? It's
absolutely
kind of like part of that organic scene, you know?
Definitely.
So I definitely have some more questions for you, but I do have my co-host with me right here, Miss Nick. Miss Nick, do you have any questions for Brother Raheem?
Hey, Raheem.
What's happening?
My question is, congratulations on dropping the seventh album. I really love your music. I've been with you since day one. My friends tease me all the time. They told me don't mess this interview up because they know I love you so much. So I'm going to try to be calm, okay? But where did you pull from to make this album, the Love King album? What was your inspiration? Where did you pull from?
You mean
Decade
or Nothing?
Are you speaking on this album
that just came out?
The new album
about to come out.
The album,
yeah,
that's about to come out.
Yeah, I know it's a lot to retain. This is my second album in the last 8-9 months, so I get it.
Yeah.
Let me just start with back, like, last October 2018.
Okay.
The Decade of a Love King album is an R&B, kind of referred to, I've been referring to as an R&B trilogy series, meaning I may only put out three volumes, or I may put out more than three volumes, but A Decade of a Love King is like a, truthfully, it's almost like an experiment, it would be the equivalent of me making a all original music mixtape, you know what I mean? But
okay.
I put the same energy into whatever I do. You know what I mean? Regardless of the title, regardless if it's a beat jack, if it's original music, whatever, like, you know, I put the same energy into it, which is to try to create something timeless. And when you talk about albums, like, it's always my intent to put out, like, a solid body of work. So, you know, the Love Reunion album, which, you know, drops, midnight, Thursday night, rolling over into Friday, 28th, it's Love Reunion album is like it's a celebration, you know what I'm saying, of love. You know, it's kind of like the continuation of a storyline. You know, when I make music, I kind of envision it like if there was a play attached to it or a film. You know, even if it's like songs where I wear it on my sleeve or I write it from a personal perspective, I want, if it's an EP, I want it to feel like a complete entire body of work. If it's an entire album, I want it to feel like a complete entire body of work. I'm just big on that. So You know, the fact that I stay in the studio so much, like working, I think that it's like it's giving me a level of confidence where I feel like that I can go in there consistently and make, you know, radio records, quote unquote, make singles, you know, start to write for other people. Like, I'm in a great space on that vibe. Like, you know, I'm working with, I was just in LA. I wrote like 5 songs for a female artist. I can't say who just yet, but like, you know, I'm kind of like stepping into that arena, executive producing projects and kind of like dictating the sound of like people tend to like my sound. So it's like, maybe it's time to start sharing that with other artists. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Babyface and you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, for example. Like, that was like, you know, they sonically, they gave artists a sound. They gave artists a look. They gave artists, you know, purpose through the gift of song and songwriting. So kind of just step into that arena, you know, and not start to kind of like spread the love a bit.
Yeah, we need more of that. Your sound is definitely a unique one. And you cannot be imitated, even if they try.
They try.
But they not making the cut now. A few months ago, I remember you were on live, and you were teasing us with the ballerina song. And I'm really pleased with the outcome of that song. I really like that. I like the album.
Have you heard the whole album yet?
I've heard not the whole album, but I need to DM you for the link. I gotta DM you for the link.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, in 24 hours it won't matter. It's gonna be everywhere. I'm just saying that you haven't, you only like subject to snippets. You ain't even heard it in its entirety. You know what I mean? So that's good. And that's a good thing that you give me that feedback. Like, you know.
Yeah, but even from the snippets, I can tell. You know, this is some really good work. I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah.
And brother. This is Elio again. Now, you were saying that not necessarily a new venture, but something that you wanted to expand more on and then touch other people with your special abilities and talents to write. How was that, the feeling behind that? Because I know as an artist myself, going in and writing for somebody else and hearing someone else sing my words, was that a hard process for you? Or was it something that just came second nature to you?
You mean in terms of, say that again, I lost you in the first half of the
question. So basically it's like this. You know, when you ghostwrite for people, was that a hard process to do, just hearing somebody else sing your words?
I think ghostwritten is like, that's more of a, that's a term that's more used in the hip hop community for artists who don't for fear of being shamed publicly. From a creative standpoint, they don't want to reveal, like, you know, it's in hip hop world, you're supposed to write your own rhymes. Like, I'm 200% believe that. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, there's not a lot of hip hop artists that write their own rhymes. So that's where like the ghost writing comes in. But like, excuse me, for what I do as a songwriter, I mean, like, for songwriters, it's a different, and for artists, for singers, it's a different scenario. You know what I mean? Like, Whitney Houston wasn't a world-renowned songwriter. Does that make her any less of an icon? No. You know what I mean?
No.
Michael Jackson was not, you know, as he progressed and developed and throughout his career, you know, but he started out singing other people's songs, you know, and even throughout, you know, at the height of his career, he was produced by some of the greatest producers and songwriters. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So I don't look at it as necessarily a ghostwriting thing for any artist that I, you know, work with or write for or whatever. Like, I mean, just to name a few, had to have me. I've written for, you know, Usher. I read for Jamie Foxx, you know what I'm saying, just to kind of name a few people, you know what I mean? So, and, you know, it's my main thing about when I get into, like, you know, I work for hire as a songwriter or a producer, is making sure that they execute the song to the best of their ability, and you know, hopefully I deliver something that's radio, you know, friendly, single worthy, you know what I mean? That wasn't always the goal, but now that as you know, it was just to make the dopest thing on the album, you know what I'm saying? And it kind of stand out. But now it's a combination of that and then understanding business and really understanding what it is to kind of know somebody's voice, know what they can and what they're capable of doing, kind of know them, know where they are in their life. You know, I think that all of these things make the song better. Don't Come Easy, for example, that's a song that I didn't write. I didn't pen that song. Like, that's a song that was hand-delivered to me by somebody who I respect in the music business, who reached out to me, and we started a business relationship, and now we got a great friendship. And it's kind of divine order because everybody, even when he presented the song to me, he knew that he said specifically, like, this song is made for you. Everybody can't execute my records. And I feel like you're one of those people that can't. So let's start a relationship. So shout out to Blanco Brown because he's like blowing up. He's got He's the most viral artist on the planet right now. Like, he has a song that's going viral. It's nuts. Like, he's, you know, four songs away from what's it? The kid Nas X, Lil Nas X, whatever. He's popping on different sides. You know what I mean? So had I not humbled myself, he sent me, and it happens all the time in our business where, like, you know, I won't say who and what, whatever, but I know I've delivered hits to certain individuals, and it might have just been something that's like the demo was too rich, the demo was too dope, you know what I'm saying? And they're like, man, I can't do that. Oh, I can't execute it like you. You know what I mean? They might not want to say that, but, you know, had I not humbled myself, like, you know, somebody else could be singing that song and reaping the benefits of it. But when it comes to songwriting and vocalism, regardless of the genre, I say this all the time. It's a lot of great songs out there with nobody to sing them. And not only will I write them, I will go out and find them and execute them. And that's what, you know, Don't Come Easy in particular is an example of that. But, you know, my new single, Just Write, which I did write, is an example of, like, yo, like, when I pull the pen out, it ain't a game either. So either way, you know what I mean? It's like, it just makes me more versatile.
That's wonderful. Okay. That is wonderful. So for an artist that's trying to become the next big thing, the next big hit, or either hit their own high, do you have any advice for that new starving artist on making the scene?
Dee, by the way, we're down to our last 2 minutes.
Hey, Ray, we can go a little longer. It's cool.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
We can give him another 10 minutes. It's cool. I like where his interview's going. what's your question?
I appreciate that, brother.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
The question was for that next artist that's trying to make it, do you have any advice for them? Being it, just
yeah, you
it
gotta,
just annoying the type of industry. Go ahead.
Yeah, excuse me. You got to work extremely hard. You have to have a team. You have to understand that nothing comes, like, nothing happens overnight. Nobody's going to give you anything. You know, for the new millennial, I would say, or for the artist that's entering into this for the first time, and, like, you know, I wear many different hats. And, you know, even in being involved in different artists' careers and stuff, sometimes they get frustrated, and sometimes we go back and forth, and we have full blowouts about different things, and it's like, beware of the sense of entitlement that you feel like, you know, in terms of people having, you know, owing you something, or, you know, nobody owes you anything. Anything you want, you're going to have to work hard for it. You're going to have to wait your turn, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, like, wait in line, and it's not my line, it's God's line, you know what I mean? And
right.
Like, and understand that when certain components are put in your life to help you, you can't go against the grain. You know what I mean? Like, the main mm-hmm. thing, it requires patience. Like, being in this business and being an artist, it's about patience and timing and setup. You know what I mean? And a lot of artists don't understand that. You know, and then for my peers who've been in the game, say like the '90s and, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, late 2000s, like, it's a different game now. Like, you know what I mean? This, like, music is a different game. It's a monster. So you have to be on point. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different system. Like, I come out of a system. I remember when it used to be a black car, like, you know, a black car waiting outside all night, burning up the budget for the label. You know what I mean? Like, the car out there all night. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, I remember when the vibe changed. You know what I'm saying? When we hit New York, jump off the train, jump off the plane, and it went from, like, black cars and the red carpet being rolled out to, like,
mm-hmm.
yo, jumping an Uber or a cab. You know?
Wow.
It's budget cuts. They ain't doing that no more. You know what I'm saying? You know, they relinquishing the company cards. Like, they, you know, you can't burn that hole in the bag no more, you know? So it's like, you know, the game changed. In the 90s, for a certain level, caliber of artists, it spoiled a lot of artists, you know, was spoiled. Used to certain treatment pattern, like, the whole game has changed. Complete 360. You gotta talk to your fans now. You gotta sign autographs. You gotta be connected. They can see through it if it's not. They can see the transparency if it's not. If it's not real, you know what I mean? Like, they gonna
right.
smother on you. They gonna know. You know, so. You know, and they come in to get their money's worth. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you ain't delivering, like, now you have what's called social media, where they do, you know, they're going to tell you a new one immediately. You know what the climate is as soon as you step off stage.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And ridicule your name in a minute, in
yep.
a hot minute. So
real
now,
life wildfire.
On edge, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Nick. I feel like I'm cutting you off, too. Did you have some more questions? Because I did want to... get into the on edge topic.
Okay. My only other question was just, like, when you're not touring and when you, you know, not making music, what do you do to decompress? Because I know it's a lot of pressure. We're trying to get the album right and perfect and, you know, get it out there. So what do you do to decompress once everything is done?
My decompress is like, it's like being home, you know, Netflix and chilling, like, cooking, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my decompress, like, being home, Netflix and chilling. It's like, that's my decompress, you know?
Okay.
Like, I move around so much, it's not, you know. And I'm not complaining about what I do. I enjoy what I do. But it's a double, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes you could be burning a candle from both ends, you know? And,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So running yourself around, trying to be here, be there, make all types of beats and things like that. And just sometimes,
you know,
you just want to just breathe for one day just to get your thoughts together. I feel you 100% on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I make it look easy, like, but at the end of the day, like, this is my, to be clear, like, Raheem Devon, like, the brand, like, it's my business. Like, I from sun up to sun down, and it's pretty much, you know, it's not all I know at this point, but I'm so accustomed to just, like, handling my business. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where it's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the other players may constantly change, management, booking agents, whatever, band members, whatever, but it's like, at the end of the day, like, it's my business, and if I'm not maximizing the success of it and breaking new territory, like, I only have myself to blame at the end of the day.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely, that's big. That's a big statement right there. So,
yeah.
Let's
So here on Edge Radio, we usually pose a question to the guests that come on to the show and also the panelists and things like that. And it's only one portion of the question. I'm not going to bombard you. So the question for today and the topic for today is, if love is unconditional, why do we treat it with conditions? That's our on edge question.
Love,
gave you the answer to that.
Why do we treat it with conditions? If love is unconditional, why do we treat it with conditions? Because in my opinion, because of a word called expectation.
Uh-huh.
And everybody has expectations. Even, you know, everybody has expectations. You know, I don't want to use the word like agenda to make it feel like it's a bad thing. But, like, we all have an agenda. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, with expectations comes challenges, you know, comes defeat, comes happiness, comes, you know, I think that would be the main thing, you know?
Excellent answer. Now, and on the network, the DIY Network, I definitely want to shout out D-Slate for setting all of this up. But here on the DIY Network and on Edge Radio, you come on as a guest and you leave as a family member, and we want to continue to push and promote whatever you're doing. And like, you're on board now with us. And I would like you to introduce your new single, Just Right, here, and we'll play it for you. And it's been a pleasure talking to you, brother.
Cool, nah, I appreciate it.
So the floor is yours. You can introduce your song for us.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts on the new album, you know what I mean? Like, once I get a chance to really absorb it, you know? All right, so where we at? What you need me to do? What are we doing again?
Just introduce your new single, and we'll play it for you, and you're good.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, cool, man. Yeah, this is the Love King of R&B, Raheem Devon. Brand new album is on the way. You know, The Love Reunion, you can pick it up everywhere digitally. This is my new single, Just Right. We're burning up the charts right now.
All right, there you go. Here it is, y'all. Just Right.
You love so good.
Thank you, man.
I got to testify.
Boy, I need
it. Listen.
You some kind of royalty.
Testify.
I want it. Just right. You for something.
Yeah, on Edge Radio. That was Raheem Divine's hit single, new on the pop charts, Just Right, y'all. I want to know how y'all felt about it, and if y'all do have any opinion, y'all want to call in and tell us how y'all felt about the show, that dial-in number is 646-668-2574. Miss Nick, how you feel about the song?
I love it. I listen to his Pandora station, so I heard it on Pandora, and I love that. I love the song.
You know what I like? I like his approach. It's very, very bold. Not a lot of artists might come in on a track on a falsetto, and he held it out throughout the song. I do appreciate his vocal choice.
It was brilliant.
I did like the song as well. Let's talk. Let's talk, Miss Nick. You know it's time. That on edge topic. I want to know what you feel. I want to know your perspective, and I'm definitely going to give mine. So, if love is unconditional, why do we treat it with conditions?
Because love is an action. And because it's an action, we act accordingly. So, like, for instance, I was talking to this girl at work, and I was telling her the only unconditional love I've ever felt was probably from my kids and maybe my parents. Other than that, with being in relationships and, to me, the love, it's, they may show you, that they really care, or they, maybe even possibly love you, but that love came with conditions, of if the pedestal that they placed you on and you fell below that, then you were treated different because you disappointed them, because like Raheem said, is the expectations that you didn't meet. So the only unconditional love I felt is with my parents and my kids. If I don't meet an expectation, my parents don't love me any different, any less, they still treat me the same. My kids, they gonna love me unconditionally because I'm the mom. Relationship wise, I don't feel that. I really don't. So
you don't think it exists? And as far as outside of the family structure,
no. I'm starting to, I don't want to be a bag lady. But it's kind of getting to that point where everybody say, I love hard, I love unconditionally, but as soon as you don't meet an expectation, that unconditional love goes out the window and they're mad and it's hard to come back from it because you didn't, So what happened to your unconditional love that you told me that you felt in the beginning? We're all human, so it's just we don't give each other that opportunity to have flaws and fall short. Like he said, it's love with expectation.
I agree with both, and it's bringing out some colors in life, really, just here today, and this is what we want to do here on Edge Radio. We want to talk about those touchy topics. Now, I'm going to give my spiel on it. I would have to concur when it comes to your understanding, because I'm looking at every situation I've ever been in. It's always been a situation that can counterpart the feelings and emotions that transpire between the two. So we can be like, I love you, 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 until you do this to me, until you do that to me, then it's something different. And then you kind of have to fall back to your core, where there's always going to be unconditional. I can go through whatever it is with a brother or sister. You know, they can treat me like crap, but so for some odd reason, I'm still there. But, when you have new situations and connected situations, and I can't fault anybody but how the construct of life is, you know, with this, all of these expectations. I would love to surpass those levels of love, whereas though it's just like a continuous thing, because it's like, if you're supposed to love unconditionally, if you're supposed to quote unquote love unconditionally, you would never have a breakup. You would never have multiple partners. You would never have these things. So when we talk about that aspect of love, I think that's a fixation. Like it's optional. It's open ended question. The next part of the question was, what are your qualifications for love?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I think for me, it may be you just, I don't know if there's a qualification, or when you feel it, you just know. I really don't know. Like, that's a good question, and I really can't answer it.
So is it really an action, or is it a feeling? Is it a vibe, or is it just a figment of our imagination? We just putting titles on it.
Okay. You can, it's maybe it's both, because for me, you can tell me you love me, I love you, I love you, but until you show, like, I'm a firm believer of words and actions have to align. And if they're not aligning, then something there is not true to me. So if you're telling me I love you, but your actions are saying, you know, I'm just dealing with you until, you know, I get what I need out of you or whatever, then that's not love. Your words and your actions not adding up. I'm all about the action. I don't go by what your mouth say, because I can have people tell me every day that they love me and not see me for months. And we're supposed to be in a relationship.
What kind of relationship was this?
Exactly. One of the, you know, I'm just saying that,
but
for
no,
an example.
You know, circumstances might happen. Go ahead. You said you about to give us an example?
No, it's just an example. Like, you know how you have those situations. And, yeah, life does get in the way of, you know, trying to have a relationship at times, but I'm also a firm believer that you make time, or you incorporate that person into whatever you have going on. But you can't say that you want to be in a relationship and you don't incorporate that person and what you have going on in your life, or, you know, you're like a separate entity of their life. You know, you can't keep me in the dark and expect and call this a relationship. No. So it's just action. It's about the action. Action is.
See, I'm gonna have to concur with you.
Why?
No, I'm gonna have to concur. Like, I agree with you because of this. This is my qualification. My qualification is showing that you understand who I am. So it's those holidays where you getting me a microphone so I can do my radio show, or making sure all the kids that is dead and I'm fed and I'm set up, and my love is making sure you straight and all of your business endeavors are lined up, and I'm making life easier for one another is love to me. Look, I love you because I'm trying to make your life easier. You love me because you make my life easier. And if it's confliction, it's a confusion. Now we're bumping heads, and that's it. Another one of the questions we get. You know what? We're gonna get into that next week. I had enough of this love stuff. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But yeah, I think we can tie this in the next week. So next week we can talk about, can you love more than one person at the same time? And we're gonna add that can go into some different levels, because I think the quality of the conversation that we was having today is all on a good note, and I don't want to distort that image. So we're gonna leave it at that. And then any closing comments for the listeners?
We need a longer show. You know that, right?
You said what?
An hour. I said we need a longer show. An hour ain't enough for us. These are some good questions.
Well, you know what? You know what? We can definitely do that, because what I want to do is this. I want to structure a setup where as though we can rock on. But this is what I was thinking. You know, people have short attention spans, just like love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's short attention spans. And the second it is switched, they like, whatever. So I try to do the courteous thing and to keep them on edge, give them that hour, hit them hard, wrap them up. You know what I mean? So that was my thought process behind it. So you know what? We talking love here, y'all, and we want to close it out with a little bit of our brother Raheem, and we're going to get him with a little customer. So peace out, y'all. Live every day optimistic. You thought I was going to keep it rocking, huh? Leave you on the hook, on edge radio. I got to keep you on edge. Y'all got to come back next week, y'all. Y'all want to keep talking this tough stuff? Come back next week. We going to get ratchet next week. We're going to be able to change a little bit of gears. We're going to keep it elegant and lovey-dovey right now. And we're going to end it off with Brother Raheem with Customer. Peace out, y'all.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Welcome to love. Can I take your order? And you can have it your way.
Welcome, can I help you? Take a minute to read the menu. If you're looking for a man, if you're looking for a friend, if you're looking for someone to talk to, say your time, I'll fill your order. I can never charge it or make caution. Caution, caution, cause the plate is hot. And I'm the catch of the day. You deserve your meal and your drink. You can find it all in me. I'll fill you up for free. If your heart is hungry, you can place your order. Particular about what you like, so the customer is always right. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Head to toe, girl, I'm quality. See the menu's full of me. I got a real love policy, and I'm the catch of the day. You deserve your meal, your drink. You can even call your order and I'll deliver to your home. And I'll be there in a matter of seconds. And there's more if you want seconds. You can be greedy as you die, morning, noon, and night. And I'm open 24/7. And cause I like you, it's on me. Got a whole lot of sugar and honey and a plate full of ecstasy. So make your reservations and make your way to me. And if that don't work for you, baby, then tell me where I need to be.
Let me serve you up. Let me. just want you to relax, ease into it. Baby, slow down, just take your time. You and me gonna be here for a while, okay? Baby, don't rush, just take your time. You and me gonna be here for a while, okay? I got so much that I want to do. I just wanna be close to you, okay? I got so much that I want to do, but I can show you better than I can say. Don't wanna be nowhere but here, nowhere in this atmosphere. Stratosphere, ionosphere, ain't no sphere that's bright like here. Don't wanna be nowhere but here, nowhere in this atmosphere. I'm good where I am. Baby, slow down, take your time. You and me gonna be here for a while, okay? Hey. I got so much that I won't do, I can show you better than I can say. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me show you.